Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, starting at verse 21 and finishing at chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ.
Well, I want to thank everyone for yesterday. It was great to come together as church family to celebrate my birthday and to celebrate the start of the year together. It did mean a lot to me, and reading the messages in the card last night was very nice. I think I particularly like Ruby's comment there. Said happy 20th. I thought, oh, that's good. But then there was a times two. But still, I think much happier seeing 20, even if it does say times two, than the other number. So, yeah, there yesterday, every balloon with 40 on it. Not a number I particularly like, but maybe I should just own it. Embrace it, yeah. Jordan greeted me this morning. Hello, 40 man. So, yeah. So 40, I figure it's probably halfway. And Phil, as he prayed yesterday, he gave thanks for what has been and prayed for what is to come. So prayed for continuing on. And that's our theme this morning. We're looking at continuing on in faith. This year, as we think about this year, we want it to be one where we are strong in faith. And we want to give thought this morning to what that can look like for us as a church and for us individually as well. Last week, we kicked off the year with what I still think is the greatest passage written about Jesus. Although Dana did suggest a pretty worthy contender, but I think that's all it is, a contender. I think this still takes number one. So we saw in Colossians 1 last week, we saw there some incredible things about Jesus. Saw that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That all things have been created through Him and for Him. That He is before all things. And that He holds all things together. And that through Him all things are reconciled to God. We saw that He is so much more than just a man who lived and died and rose, as remarkable as that is. So I don't know about you, but these verses have kept weighing on me pretty heavily this week. I've been thinking about them. And if I truly believe these things, then the difference that should make in my life, the way that I should worship Him, like really worship Him, we should be in awe of Him if we believe these things. Like believing these things is not just like an accessory that you might have with you, your handbag or your man bag. Believing these things should totally transform the way that we go about life, the way that we think about life. So if you're bored with Jesus, or if you have doubts about Jesus or a small view of Jesus, then go back and read Colossians 1 verses 15 to 20 again and again, and let that blow your mind and give you a big view of Jesus. Because here we see it's all about Him. This world, everything in this world, it is about Him. Which means that your life, my life, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's all about Him. So I was tempted this week just to stay in this passage, just to keep looking at it, because there's so much in it. But we will go on, as we've just read, and read what comes next. But what do you say when you've just penned what I think is the greatest passage about Jesus? What do you say next? Well, in the next paragraph, with, I think, brilliant brevity, Paul shows us the reality of our life, the believer's life. Your past life, your present life, and your future life, it's all here, and again, it's in one sentence. Although the NIV, helpfully for us, made it three sentences. But in the Greek, when Paul wrote it, one sentence. So I don't know if he's just so excited that he, just in one breath, he just puts it all out. And then, full stop. But here it is. Here's your life summed up in a sentence. No, you're going to have to do it for me. So once, alright, so this is it, a few blanks, and they're on your outline. We'll go to the next slide. So once you are alienated from God, but now you're reconciled by Christ, so that one day you'll be presented holy and blameless. Right? This is what you were, what you are, and what you will be. All there in one sentence. So have a look, so you know it's not just me, but this is what God's Word says. Colossians 1, 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish, and free from accusation. So what you were, what you are, and what you will be. Not through anything of ourselves, but all Him, the peace that he has won through his blood. It's staggering, isn't it, that it's his death, that moment where Jesus is hanging on the cross where all would have looked defeated, but really that is the key moment in all of history that offers hope to the world today. It really is amazing the way that our God works. What do you make of the next line in verse 23? If you continue in your faith. Now that's not meant to put doubt on the whole thing. Because Paul fully expects that they will continue in faith. He fully expects that they are going to continue in faith. So this is more a call to faithfulness rather than it being a condition of faithfulness. What it does show, it shows that the part of human responsibility, that we are responsible to keep going on, to continue in faith, being established and firm. Right, that's what it says, verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So we, believers, we've come to faith in Christ Jesus. So the one spoken about in the preceding paragraph, there where we saw the supremacy of Christ, that is the one. Jesus, he's the one we've put our faith in and our hope in. Right, we've come to see that he is the one who makes everything right in this world. He is the one who brings us to God. And he is the one who brings our life the most profound way, meaning and purpose to our life. So what's Paul's call now? Paul's call to the Colossians then, to us today, is to continue. To keep believing in him, being established and firm in him, not move from the hope of the gospel, the hope of being found holy and blameless in him. And there are probably all sorts of reasons, though, why we can doubt this, or maybe not doubt, but not think highly enough of this. Now, it could be the distance of it all, that what is written here, what happened, that's 2,000 years ago. And maybe that distance makes it hard for us to truly believe these things. But if you think about it, it was also nearly 2,000 years between Abraham and then when Jesus died on the cross. We're just another 2,000 years on the other side. It could be we just get so caught up in life. Life is busy, isn't it? Rushing from one thing to the next, and maybe some of you are still coming out of the whirlwind of the start of another school year and getting your kids to school and kids' activity and that type of thing. Well, my dad, he tells me that life just gets busier. Now, he's retired. He's been retired for many years now, and I'm not sure exactly what he does with his time, but he says every day just goes by faster. Just faster and faster. So maybe in the rush, the busyness of life, maybe we can lose sight of the bigger picture and what is happening. For some, it means we no longer see them at church, or we only see them very, very rarely. Life just becomes so all-consuming that God and meeting with his people get squeezed out. Now, I know that you don't have to come to church to be a Christian, but we know it is so hard to be a Christian if you don't come to church, if you're not worshipping God together and meeting together as his people. It could be that the message of the world just speaks louder and louder to us. It could be something happens in your life, maybe something tragic, something falling apart and it's all too much, and that might mean we stop believing these things about God. It could be a number of reasons. But Paul speaks of continuing on in your faith, being firm and established, not moved from the hope of the gospel. In 1:28, if you have a look there, Paul says he proclaims Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone. Why? To be able to present everyone perfect or mature in Christ. Now, Paul's got, I don't know how many years Paul lived. He's got 60, 70 years. When he wrote this, a lot less than that. But his goal in life is that people would be presented perfect in Christ. That's the thing that gets him out of bed each day. That he can proclaim Christ so that people can be firm in Christ right till the end. But each person has responsibility for their own faith. You are responsible for your faith. But Paul wants to do everything he can to ensure they are continuing and growing in faith. You see it right throughout this passage. You see it also in 2:5. There he says, "For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." Now, we often speak about, don't we, growing in faith, but maybe we can struggle to know exactly what that is and what is meant by growing in faith. But here, firm in faith, I think that is a helpful way to think about what it is that we want. Now, picture's going to come up. You might have seen this before. Right? I think this helps us thinking about being firm in faith. Right? As we go through life, life has lots of ups and downs. And for some of us, more ups, more downs than others. But as we keep going, we want to continue in faith. Whatever might be happening around us, we want to continue in faith. And it's in those times, the downs, that's when our faith is tested, isn't it? When the bad stuff happens, our faith is tested. But as we trust God, and knowing that the God is faithful, and as He sees us through those downs, you see, the overall there, we're heading in the direction of up. Along the way, there are ups and downs, but overall, we're going up. This is a picture of life and maturing in faith. Ups and downs, but being able to keep trusting God. He sees us through and we grow in faith. We keep being firm in faith despite what's happening around us. And he brings us out on the other end and we will mature. And it's often in the downs where our faith is tested, where we are strengthened the most. Now, I can't help but think, especially at the moment, of Emily and Mal and Mel in this. So many downs for them. So many unknowns at the moment for little Emily. And at the moment, like the doctors are baffled. It seems like there's no one in the whole world who is like Emily and has a case like hers. And where does that leave Mal and Mel? Right? Think how they would be questioning life and God and what is happening inside little Emily. Like, they could question, couldn't they? Like, Jesus holds all things together. But maybe they can question that, and they'd be right to do that as they look at Emily at the moment. But then I look at these guys and I see them, that they are desperately clinging hold of God and His promises. They are trusting Him. Sometimes it's Emily who calls on Mum and Dad to keep trusting. Sometimes it's Mel and Mel who are calling on Emily to keep trusting. But I'm sure as they do that their faith grows stronger, because as they go through this as a family, They're being called, aren't they, to depend on God more and more. Because they can see they themselves don't have the answers. They don't know what's happening. Doctors don't. So they cry out to God and they depend on God to keep getting them through. And as they do that, they're strengthened in faith, being firm in faith. Faith is confidence in God, confidence that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. His promises that he will act on those. Confidence in Jesus, believing who he is, believing all these things we saw about him last week. It's confidence in God's word. Walking by faith is living with confidence that God is good, that God is fulfilling his purposes. Even when we don't get it, even when we don't understand what is going on and why, if we're walking by faith, we're trusting that God knows and that he will see us through that and that he is fulfilling his good purposes. As we grow in confidence in God and his word, we mature and we become more and more firm in faith, being established and clinging more and more to the hope of the gospel. So this year I would love for us as a church to have a growing confidence in God more and more, and that we can talk to one another about how God is at work in our life. Our purpose number two is cultivating faith in Jesus through the word and prayer. So what we've been talking about, cultivating faith, continuing in faith, wanting to know Jesus more and more, being active in that, working out how we can keep continuing on in faith. That is what we're about as a church. And each one of us has a responsibility to see that this happens. You are responsible yourself. As your pastor, I have a responsibility and a passion to see that this happen. I want everyone here presented perfect in Christ. I don't want any of us getting lost along the way. As we meet here together, as we meet during the week in our life groups, we want to work towards this. Cultivating our faith, helping each other to continue in faith, walking by faith with whatever is going on in our life, being able to get into God's word and pray for one another. And many of you are parents of young kids, so you have a responsibility to be cultivating faith in your children as they start their first day of school, as they have their first boyfriend or girlfriend, and hopefully those two conversations aren't too close together. As they have questions about life, you're there. You're the main person in their life who is helping them to understand God and his word and put it together. As a community of believers, we want to be doing this together, both seeing people come to faith and continue on in faith, being firm in faith. And I think it's a special thing here that we can be doing this across the generations. So as we finish, let us think about how we can be deliberate in this. Because you know the line, not to plan is to plan to fail. So it's good to think through this, to have a plan of how you, this year, can keep continuing on in faith. It could be you'll say, yep, I'm going to be in a life group. It could be, yep, I'm going to do this with my kids. Whatever it is, be deliberate. In the lead up to Easter. We're going to be getting into Mark's Gospel. We've heard about that the last few weeks. We're going to be reading it all. And hopefully there we will see Jesus for who he is, especially those years where he was here living on earth. And that will help us to worship him, to honour him as God, and to follow him in our day-to-day life. And I'm hoping that every one of us will be able to read Mark's Gospel between now and Good Friday, and maybe even read it multiple times. Is there any reason why we can't all do that? That each one of us read Mark's Gospel at least once between now and Easter. Now, Easter is a little bit earlier this year, but it's still, I don't know, 7 weeks away or something. So that's what I'd love us to do. Every person here, and get your children involved as well, to read Mark's Gospel. And if we all did that, I'm sure that that would be one way that helps us to be able to continue in faith. Well, might hit the pause button there. I'm going to invite a few other people up, and we're going to hear from them of some of the things that they're doing to be deliberate in working at this themselves, wanting to be committed to continuing on in faith and having a plan to do so. So, Daniel, Mila, and Anne, and Mahini, they're going to come up, and I'm just going to ask each of those just a question or two. So, we'll start with Daniel. He's the keenest to come on up.
I've got the mic.
He's got the mic, so you can stand on this side.
Yep, no worries.
All right, so I was talking to Daniel late last year, and he was telling me about some of the things that he's been reading, getting into the resurrection, wanting to think more about that, and reading a number of books. So, Daniel, can you tell us how that came about and why you've wanted to do that?
Yeah, sure. So I like to think deeply about the Christian faith and what I believe and why I believe it. As many of you know, my background is kind of in science, and that's what I like to think about. And I realized there's kind of a big hole in my thinking, and that was around the person of Jesus and how we can have confidence that he did indeed rise from the dead. And so I decided to spend a bit of time thinking about that more deeply and reading more widely about that. It's not as though I haven't read the Bible and understand what the Bible says, understand that perfectly well, but it was more having a look at what scholarship has to say about the person of Jesus.
So I don't know where you're at in the process of working your way through those books and reading more, applying your mind to it, but something that's been helpful as you've done that?
Yes, so I'm sort of one of those persons, people that owns lots of books and never finish any of them. And so I suppose what I do is I ask some people who've already thought through this sort of thing, what books they'd recommend. I went ahead and got a couple for online, bought them online, and just started to read them, really, from the beginning. I open the contents page and think, well, whereabouts do I need to go? I like to journal. I find that a helpful thing to do and make a list. I decided to, instead of having this all floating around my head, let's make a list of the things I want to think through. And so then I just go through tackling them one at a time. I try and make time to read. Night works for me. It's the only time I really have time to do it. But yeah, that's basically what I do. Just grab a book and I start. You just got to start doing it.
So for Daniel, it's resurrection. Maybe for you there's something that you want to apply your mind and think more about. Maybe something that's troubled you or you just want to explore more. So during the week life group we started and we were reading this passage and it raised a whole number of things about the Trinity. So maybe for some that could be a topic to think about more. So any final thing you want to add?
Just want to encourage people to not be afraid to ask questions that might be difficult and might have an element of risk attached to them because you might not like what you find. In my experience, while I've certainly had to change and modify some of my beliefs and things that I think are true, overwhelmingly I've had my faith strengthened through what I read. So I would love to encourage people to do that and don't be afraid. It will strengthen your faith. I'm confident it will do that.
All right. Thank you. you know, pass it on to Mahini. So Mahini, I go to Mahini and Fred's place each Thursday for a life group. Mahini, can you share with us why it's important for you to be in a life group and how it helps you?
Yeah, so it's really important for me because I didn't study scripture as a child. I was brought up as a Buddhist. My mum was an Anglican and she applied Bible verses every day in our life to discipline us. And I had an understanding of the Christian faith, but I was not a practicing Christian. So we have been going to church, and I converted when I was about 21 years of age. So I didn't study scripture in school, and I don't have a very broad knowledge of the Bible. And when I joined this church about 5 years ago, I joined the Thursday group which Steve leads, and since then my knowledge of the Bible has broadened, and somehow Steve will know I have a lot of questions, so when I read the Bible on my own, I tend to question everything. It's just my personality. I have a curious mind, and it's just my personality that I have a lot of questions. So at Bible study group, I tend to ask a lot of questions, and thanks to Steve, I can understand the Bible, and I can relate to what the Bible says, and thereby my faith has got stronger. Because I understand the Bible, I think my faith is stronger. So I think it's really important for me to be in a Bible study group, and it has been about 5 years, and I enjoy it thoroughly, and I really look forward to every Thursday. And because it's interactive and we discuss everything, it's not just a case of my reading the Bible, because we discuss everything. So, and most of the time Steve is able to answer my questions. So, I haven't read the whole Bible on my own, but that's on my bucket list, to read the whole Bible on my own. So I don't want to rush reading the Bible, because I want to read it slowly and understand everything. And thereby strengthen my faith in God. So my Bible study group has really been important to me I have been going to church, but I'm new to the Bible itself. So that has been very important to me.
Mahini's often said to me she much prefers life group than sermons. She can ask her questions in the group and discuss it, but in a sermon, just got to sit and listen.
Listen, yes. So most of the time, while I'm sitting there, my mind is just my personality. Mine just works, and then I come up with all these questions, which I ask Steve on a Thursday. So
I'll pass it on to Anne. Anne is someone who reads her Bible and prays and is diligent in that. So, Anne, can you share with us, as someone who has been reading your Bible for many years, how do you keep doing that and keep going, and how are you doing it this year?
I've been a Christian for 60 years, and I think when I first started, there was a mantra: no Bible, no breakfast. Whether you have ever heard that little saying, but when I was young, it was, I used to have my breakfast and not read the Bible, I can tell you. But as I've got older and more mature in my faith, I've realised that this is my spiritual food. And without it, I'm going to go downhill spiritually. I'm not perfect. And I struggle, because I've been reading the Bible for so long. Many of the passages are so familiar. I think, now what can I get out of this today, Lord, that you want to show me? And Therefore, I need to be creative. And this year I have, last year I purchased the Chronological Bible study book, where it has all the different passages that, for instance, where Kings and Samuel are meshed together, and some of the prophets, so that you have everything coming that is chronologically correct. And I'll be getting on to the New Testament, where the New Testament will again, it won't be four Gospels, it'll be all meshed into one. So it'll be most interesting, and I need that to keep fresh. I really do. And I want to say to you that I don't read the Bible through in a year. I find that's too much. I find I need to think about it, and I take smaller bits of it, and I think about it. And sometimes, unfortunately, I'm thinking so much about it that almost, I've got to go now, and I've got to have time to pray. So sometimes if I'm going out, and if I'm going in the train, I'm praying in the train because I haven't had time to pray at home. So I'm saying it's a struggle. I think the devil is there and trying to distract us as well. And we've got to be putting on the full armour of God all the time. Derek does read the Bible right through every year. But I just find that it's an individual thing. And then prayer. I do pray for a lot of people, and I pray for a number of people here quite a lot. But again, one has to be, I think, one has to be, have a plan of some kind. And to know where people are at, and to keep on finding out how far they've got in their journey. I was just speaking to Clarice this morning, and I've been praying about her oldest daughter and her need to have a baby, and she's 22 weeks pregnant, and she was having miscarriages. That is such a wonderful answer to prayer. So it's a matter of keeping up, and I have lists. I have to not miss out on anyone. But my main thing is my relationship with God. It's not just lists and what have you. It's praising Him, it's confessing my sins, and it's thanking Him, as well as praying for myself, obviously, and a lot of other people.
All right. Thank you, Anne. I just wanted you to hear these stories, and not saying that what they're doing, that's what you need to do, but just so that each of us is thinking about our faith and where we're at, and what it is that we can be doing to keep continuing on in faith. So you might like to chat more to them later on. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Christ. Thank you that through Him we've been brought back into a relationship with you and can call you Father. Father, help us to worship you. Help us to walk by faith. Help us to have a growing confidence in you and your word, and that it would truly make that difference in the way that we go about our life day to day. And Father, help each one of us to be deliberate, to be intentional in the way that we would keep giving ourselves to you, that we would continue in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.